Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. I really love seeing these first few rows right here in the center. And it's great to see all of you. It's great to see Brent and his family. I miss them. Camp, we talked this morning, was just a fantastic week. Couldn't have asked for a better week. And it is always good when we get to see each other. I figured that Debbie was probably missing me this morning, so I did take a selfie, sent that to her. And so that way she'd be able to see me today and probably feel better about herself and make her day complete. But all joking aside, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for especially these guys that have spent a week together already this past week, and it is great to see you guys once again together. Very heartwarming. So thank you for being here tonight. I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. I was going to finish up Psalm 139 this evening. We'll finish up Psalm 139 next week. There's one lady that I've spoken to that she says my favorite one, and I'm not going to be here the week you get back from camp. If you could wait one more week, I'd really appreciate that. So I told her that I would do that, but at the same time, there was, in this past week of looking at one particular individual in the life of Job in the classes, as I preached this morning about what we taught in class this week, there's a word that kept coming up. And that word in Job chapter 2, in verse number 3, is the word integrity. God called him a man of integrity. And here in Genesis chapter 14, we begin to look at this word. Integrity itself is blameless. It is doing the right thing regardless of the fact whether or not anybody's watching or not. Doesn't matter who sees you, God is going to see everything. And your responsibility, my responsibility at all times, is to make sure that I demonstrate that characteristic and those things that God would have me to at all times. Whether or not I'm around my brothers and sisters in Christ or not doesn't make any difference. At all times, I'm to be a person of integrity. It is a virtue, a characteristic that I'm always to demonstrate. People need to know that I'm going to be consistent. And as we've talked about before in previous lessons, consistency is one of those things that is the hardest thing to do. Now, I will tell you that, you know, with Gavin and Addison being a little bit older, I have matured, I hope, a little bit in some of those things. In other ways, I probably will never mature. But they get on to me. They're like, well, you don't treat Dalton that way. Well, I do. It's just not exactly the same because I've grown and I matured and it's different now. I don't want to do those same things. I want to make sure that we show that maturity, but he's still held to the same standard that they were held to. God is going to hold all of us to that same standard. And so at all times, we need to hold to the standard of God's word. Here in Genesis chapter 14, beginning in verse number 21, we have a little bit of the backstory here with Abram, and we think about him showing integrity here. Now, the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. You understand what he's saying there? Lot's been taken captive. King of Sodom and those who come to be able to help free him. The king of Sodom says, hey, let me have the people, you take all the stuff. And Abram says, I'm not taking the stuff. Because, why? I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. It is him that I rely on. I'm not taking a thread. You understand? A thread. That's what garments are made of. I won't take a single thread out of that. I won't take a single sandal strap. I'm taking zero of any earthly possessions from anybody else, lest they have the ability to say, I made him rich. I made him wealthy. The only one who will ever get that credit is God. That's what a man of integrity does. You can look around and see all the spoil that they had taken and what they had the opportunity to have. And he says, I will not take that. I'm going to make sure that God is the one always who is glorified. He was going to be that man of integrity. In Genesis chapter 20, we see Abram again. excuse me. This time he will be Abraham, father of nations. And we think about here with Abimelech. Genesis chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her and said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she, even she herself, said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." And God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." Notice, God says, "I know you did this in the integrity of your heart. I know you did this in the innocence of your heart. I know that you did this in the uprightness of life. This is the man that you are." This wasn't a one-time action here of Abimelech. This was who he was. And God says, "I know who you are. I know the integrity, your innocence, the virtue of your and character of your life. I know who you are." Would he be able to say the same about us? Would he be able to say that you are a person of integrity, that this is a virtue that you show forth? And we look at an example of this in one of my favorite Bible characters to look at. Look with me at Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Joseph, one of my favorite Bible characters to be able to look at, with all the things that he faced all the time. To be sold by his brothers into captivity. To be in charge of Potiphar's house is what we'll look at here. To then, because of Potiphar's wife being, he was then thrown into prison. Serves years in prison. Then is able to get out and is made second in command of Egypt. Be able to show and demonstrate forgiveness to his brothers. Not wanting to withhold or not wanting to hold anything against them, but instead be able to show and demonstrate forgiveness, to know how his father was, gets to see him before he dies. He gets to bless the children of Joseph. All of this that we see in his life, this is a man of integrity that regardless of who is watching, he is going to be consistent in life to make sure he is right before God. Here in Genesis 39, we're going to begin in verse number 4. And so Joseph found favor in his sight, he being Potiphar, and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he put under his authority. And all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it will go into the lust that Potiphar's wife had over Joseph. Notice here, when you have a person of integrity that, like Joseph was, look what Potiphar did. Potiphar put everything that he had in his house under Joseph's control, under his command. And because of the way that Joseph lived his life, God blessed everything in Potiphar's home. Everything. It grew. His house was able to flourish because of Joseph, because of the man that he was, always looking to serve God. So what happened? He didn't even know how much he had anymore. Potiphar was not one of those who was sitting down every single night and crunching numbers and looking at everything that he had. Potiphar, the only thing that he knew, the only thing that he felt he needed to know, have I got food to eat? Am I sitting down to eat at night? That's all he needed to know. Am I being provided for? Am I being taken care of? I have a man in charge of my house, and my house is flourishing, prospering, It is incredible to see. The reason it was happening that way was because God was blessing Joseph for the man that he was. He was a man of integrity, character, these virtues of godliness that he exhibited every day to everyone around him. Whether it was Potiphar watching or not didn't make any difference. And here, without Potiphar knowing truly what the value of his home was, we see that he is prospering. He knows exactly the man that Joseph was, or at least he thought he did. And I understand the next few verses there will come crashing down. But notice the virtue that Joseph had in his life, the man of integrity that truly he was. Whether Potiphar was around or not, Joseph was the same. He was always that man of virtue, the one that was going to exhibit godliness to everybody. And his house was, the house of Potiphar was able to prosper. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 9. Think about David. David being a man after God's own heart. He sent Samuel to anoint him, and as Samuel had gone to anoint him, he had looked first at his oldest brother and all of his brothers, and he had seen that truly this has got to be the guy. And God says, no. No, you're looking at the outside. I'm looking at the heart. In fact, in places like Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, Paul would quote the fact that David was a man after God's own heart, a man of integrity, a man that was going to demonstrate good things. Now, did David have shortcomings? Yeah, absolutely he did. And we've read and talked about those things before and seen those shortcomings that he had. But I want you to notice, because of the way that David also would rule his household, that same expectation was held of his children, specifically here of Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my commandments or keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." There's a lesson series that at some point I'd like to put together and do on contingency statements, an if-then statement. Notice what God says to Solomon. If you will walk after me, in verse 4, if you will walk before me, if you will follow after me in my statutes, my commandments, my judgments, the way that your father David did, then I will make everything that you have to flourish. Notice he will prosper. I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel. I will fulfill and continue to fulfill the promises that I had made to David, that he would always have someone on that throne. But you've got a part to play. You have to follow after me. You have to make sure that you keep my commandments, statutes, and judgments. Brethren, it's no different for us today. We have got to be those, and think about how God here had described David. The integrity of his heart, the uprightness, blamelessness, the fact that, yes, David messed up, but he didn't get to define who he was. He was forgiven of that. It was not his way of life and manner of life. Godliness, following after God, that was his way and manner of life. Ours has to be the same. I don't get to compromise truth. I don't get to help somebody else feel comfortable where they are. Instead, that integrity that I'm to have is to demonstrate godliness at all times and to do as God would have me to do. When you think about David, and you think about the fact that he had shortcomings, and you look at Solomon, and we think about Solomon and all those wives that would pull his heart away from God. He didn't follow after God because the integrity of his heart was to be pleasing to man and not to God. He wanted to do what pleased God or pleased man. All those wives, setting up all those high places, all those things that he did for them to please them rather than being pleasing to God. And you may say, well, you think about excuses he could make. Well, I set up those high places for worship. Worship of who? False gods. Not God. False gods. Gods of their nations and their people. Not the God of heaven and earth. The God they wanted to serve rather than God. You can go to Job chapter 2. And I want you to think about all the adversity that Job faced in his life. Everything he went through. To lose 10 kids, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 1,000 oxen, 500 female donkeys, the massive household that he had of not only having 10 kids, but also all the servants and all those that served in his household, to lose all of them. And yet, in chapter 1 and verse 21, or 20, he finds out all these things that had happened. All the livestock and possessions that he had were gone. His children had died. Tears his robe, shaves his head, falls down on his face and worships. Verse 21 of Job 1. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I'll return there. The Lord has given and the Lord takes away. Blessed, hallowed, revered be the name of the Lord. And then all Job did in verse 22... he did not sin. And everything. In chapter 2, in verse number 3, God is speaking to the devil. He speaks to Satan. And he tells him, have you considered my servant Job, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Notice here, he says, and he has not changed his integrity. Okay? There's none like him on the face of the earth. He still holds fast his integrity. Still holds fast to his godly characteristics, his godly virtues. And even after you have incited me against him, God tells David, you tried to pit us against one another to where he would blame me for what happened in his life, all the adversity in his life. But he's not the way that you expect him to be. He's not like any other person on the face of the earth. Job's upright. He's a man of integrity. And he still holds fast to me. He's holding fast to his faith. In verse 9, his wife tries to use that integrity against him. Here in Job 2, verse 9, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Stop being the man that you've always been. He tells her she's foolish. And he says, should we not accept adversity from the Lord? We've accepted all the goodness. Everything we have is prospered in him and because of him. Should we not also accept the adversity that comes? Job's going to be upright and hold fast to his faith regardless of what has happened. And notice the end of verse number 10 there. Job did not sin with his lips. He still was going to hold fast. There was no way he was going to be evil toward God, blaspheme him, and then die or wish for death. Satan did everything that he could. Everything that he could throw at Job, he threw at him to be able to tear him away from God. That's what integrity looks like, is that regardless of what happens and who is doing it, here in chapter 1 and chapter 2 both, there was a day where the sons have come to present themselves before God, and Satan himself also came. God told Satan both times, the first time you can touch everything he has, you can't touch him. The second time, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. Satan did everything that he could to Job to tear him away from God, to cause him to sin against God, to lose his faith in God. Job simply would not do it. He was going to stand fast and hold fast to God at all times. The same way that we see so many others throughout the scriptures do. men like Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, you had Darius the king, who had set up satraps over the people, and he had governors over them. Daniel, of course, being one of those. But Daniel set himself higher standard than those satraps and even the governors. Daniel was a man of integrity. And they thought, we have got to be able to bring him down. We have got to be able to bring him low. And they were not able to do so. Pay attention here to verse number 4 of Daniel 6. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. So what are they going to do? Hey, let's use his uprightness against him. This is a guy who prays to God every day. And we know that at least 3 times a day, he goes to his house, opens his window toward Jerusalem, kneels down and prays. We'll use that against him. That's what we'll use. We can find no fault, no bad, evil, worthless, ungodly deed that he does. So we'll use his godliness to get him. You think about that? We'll use his godliness against him. Unfortunately, there are people today that try to do the same. Daniel is not going to be brought low. He'll be thrown into the lion's den. And we know the story well, that God would shut the mouths of those lions. They would not do anything to him. But those of his accusers, King Darius, didn't sleep that night. He ran early in the morning, called down to him. Daniel answered. He takes those that had accused him and their families. He throws them into the lion's den. They were devoured before they even touched the floor. That's integrity. Daniel knew what was going to happen, and yet he still prayed to God. God came first every time. I would ask you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If we are going to be those with godly integrity, to demonstrate godly virtue and characteristics every day of our lives, regardless if we're by ourselves, somebody is there, kids, wife, church members, worldly people, doesn't make any difference. We are to be people of integrity at all times, demonstrating what God would have us to demonstrate. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's who you serve. So whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. Put your heart into it. Be those that are demonstrating that godly virtue and characteristic, people of integrity, that regardless of who is there, you're always doing it as to the Lord and not to men. I'm not to give lip service. I don't tell you what I think you want to hear. The responsibility that we have as Christians is to tell one another and those in the world around us what the Bible has to say. I don't get to compromise truth. I'm to do and live my life according to this standard only, and help others to do the same. I have no right to help somebody feel comfortable outside of Christ just because it's nice. Instead, always, 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 I have to show them, and I can do it in a loving manner, with grace on my lips, to help them see and understand this is what it is to live godly. This past week was incredible, absolutely incredible. One of the most uplifting weeks, I'll tell you, that I've had in a while. Why? Because time after time after time, we watched as these kids right here, those kids at camp, time after time after time, built each other up, lifted each other, helped each other to understand what it is to be godly. And some of the conversations that they had were not easy conversations, yet they were not going to let themselves just say whatever to placate their friend. to help them just feel comfortable where they were at. They were going to say and do those things that even if it was difficult, it was what was right in the eyes of God. It was incredible. I told Brent this evening, I have missed him. I missed being able to get up at a little before 6 to go take a security drive and stay up sometimes till after 2 o'clock in the morning to be able to talk to kids and make sure that they were okay. I'll forego every hour and every ounce of sleep if that's what it takes. I don't care. This past week was a phenomenal week. You know, I'm very thankful you guys are here. I'm thankful that you guys are this close, that you show up and you come. What you guys demonstrated this week were these type of lives, this type of heart, that you were going to be pleasing to God. I listened as you sang. We watched as you discussed. Got to listen to several of you lead singing, pray, deliver lessons. And every single time, it brought a smile to my face. It brought a smile to my heart. Because what I got to witness and what I got to see, I know doesn't last only there in that audience, but that it goes on in your life to be demonstrated to everybody else you come into contact with. That's integrity. That's what it looks like. And I'm thankful for those examples that you set. And I would tell you, I don't care if you're older than these kids. I don't care if you're younger than these kids. You can look at these kids right here and you can follow their example. Because the example that they set is an example of godliness, uprightness, blamelessness. The example that God would be proud of. When we talked this morning, the challenge was, if God were to speak about you, would he be able to speak about you the way that he spoke about Job? This evening, I would tell you to look at these examples that we've looked at. Those of integrity. No one else outside of God was going to get the credit. No one outside of God was going to be pleased. They would be pleased because of uprightness. No one outside of God is going to get the glory. What about in your life? Do you glorify man or do you glorify God? Are you one of integrity that demonstrates those godly virtues and characteristics every day in your life to help bring others to Christ instead of push them away? Tonight, if you're here and your life is not being lived in accordance with the will of God, maybe tonight you need to become a child of God, to be willing to repent of your sin, confess Jesus as the Son of God, be baptized where his blood washes away your sins and you rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. Or perhaps as a child of God, you think about your life and those godly virtues and characteristics are something that you have been neglecting and that you need to get those first in your life once more so that people can see Christ living in you. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.